Psychologists and psychiatrists and medical doctors make it very clear that if a person, you or I, needs to overcome bitterness or resentment or anger, we must be able to tell somebody who is able to control our own resentment, our own anger, and our own bitterness in order to overcome that. So perhaps the classic example is the spouses. The wife is bitter and angry and resentful towards her husband for whatever, and she tells all of her friends, all of her siblings, all of her children, but she never tells her husband. And so she stays like that throughout the marriage. The opposite is true for the husband. In a business, an institution, the employees complain about the employer. But the resentment and the bitterness and the anger towards the employer is never fixed, because the employees never tell the employer. And how easy is it for us in our relationship with God to use the same mode of operation? Perhaps it's easier to tell our friends, our confidants, about our weaknesses and our failings, our sins, than it is to tell God. But he's the one that needs to forgive us. He's the one, in the words of medicine, that can control the situation. If there is one thing that separates Advent from Lent, as you can see, the violet vestments, very similar. The time of preparation, Lent is 6 weeks, 7 weeks. Advent is only 4 weeks. The big difference is that the church and our Lord expect a warmth and a lightheartedness, a more immediate joy to the season of Advent in preparing for Christmas than the church would expect from us during Lent. Fasting and almsgiving and praying doesn't always equal joy. When we're hungry, we're not real joy-filled. But the church doesn't encourage those things during the Advent season. Praying, certainly, but fasting and almsgiving isn't as a part of Advent as it is in Lent, because we're waiting and preparing for something different. And that something that is different is God, who comes to us as a baby. And that baby needs warmth when it comes to December 25th. But how easy is it for us in our sin to keep the very thing that God needs to hear from him? It's not difficult at 9:30 in the morning to be dull to the readings. But any of you who are listening or following along even better, literally to the words on the paper, St. Paul is not talking about child's play. St. Paul is encouraging the Romans in a very sinful community to stop very bad behavior. Read the words for yourself. This isn't stealing Skittles from grandma. These are big-time sins with very powerful people and a very influential culture, not much different than our own. And yet it was those very things that kept the Romans and that society from converting to Christianity and Catholicism. And St. Paul knew it, and that's why St. Paul preached it. He called it out night, plain as day. Stop with the orgies. Stop with the drunkenness. Stop with the promiscuity and lust, the rivalries and the jealousy. He named them. He named the very thing that kept a whole culture from coming to Jesus. That's not my task today. My task today is to do what the church guides me to do, in bringing all of us, myself included, to the forefront of the Advent season. It begins today, and so preparation begins today. Friends, you can do whatever you want, and I can do whatever I want. I can resort to more sin. I could pay thousands of dollars for a great therapist. I could spread gossip like wildfire at my job. And yet the only one that can control my situation with sin is God himself. You can't get around it. Try it. Try to discount confession, but you just can't do it. I'm sorry. You just can't get by the sacrament of confession. No matter what we believe in, no matter what you see is true, it has been told to us by the prophet Isaiah, St. Paul himself, and Jesus Christ, that the way to overcome sin in our lives is through the mercy of God. And the only way here on earth to encounter that mercy, the only way, is through the sacrament of confession. It's the sacrament of confession, friends, that removes the bitterness and resentment we have with our sins, the anger, and gives to our soul a warmth that only God can give. You and I, it comes down to making use of not just prayer, but of the sacraments during this Advent season. It is critical that our hearts and minds are places of warmth, that we can smile easily for living our faith, that we're not bogged down by our faults. We don't ignore them, but we bring them to the right person, who is Jesus. And the irony is, it's that same person that wants to come to us on December 25th. And as you parents know, as you aunts and uncles know, and as you grandparents know, when that person is a baby, they need a place that is warm. They need a place that is holy.